Philippians chapter 1. We've been talking about our stories, how we each have a story to tell and a story to live. But yet we must understand that it's really not our story. It's God's story, and we're playing our part in that story, right? The first week we talked about there's four things that we struggle with sometimes that really make our stories not worth telling. Remember I told you about the guy who came to the realization that all of a sudden he realized his story wasn't worth telling. It was boring. It was not worth telling. And there's four reasons, I think, that we talked about that make our story not worth telling. The one is that sometimes we've cast the wrong main character. You remember that? Sometimes we've made ourselves the main character. Sometimes we can also be reading off the wrong script. Sometimes we might be reading off the script rather than what God has given us for our lives. Maybe we're reading a script that someone else has given us and said, you need to be this, you need to do that. This is how you're supposed to do this. You have to follow this plan. The third thing is sometimes our story is not worth telling because sometimes what we want is not worth enough. Remember, every good story has these qualities. It has a character that wants something and is willing to overcome conflict to get it. Any story you think of has that. Some character wants something and he's willing to overcome conflict to get it. Well, sometimes what we want isn't worth overcoming the conflict for. Sometimes we don't want it bad enough to overcome the conflict because, you know, if you've never had conflict in your life, would you raise your hand? Okay, we all have conflict, and we need to have something that's worth looking forward to overcome the conflict. Sometimes what we want is just not worth enough. And then fourth, sometimes we try to skip over the parts that make our story matter. Remember that part? Sometimes we want to skip over the tough parts or the parts that are difficult for us. You know, at the times we struggle, we want to just skip past that. And before long, we realize that we've skipped away a lot of our life. Has anybody ever seen the movie called Click? If you have, raise your hand. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. The guy found the magic remote control, and he found himself that he could fast forward through all the parts he didn't want to. Well, he come to the end of his life, or later on down, he realized that he'd missed so much. And if we try to skip through all these parts that make our stories matter, the parts that when we get through, we can look back and say, let me tell you about this, and let me tell you why it's important and why my story matters because of this stuff I went through, and let me tell you about it. If we try to skip through that stuff, then we come up with a story that really doesn't impact or it's not significant. So that's what we talked about the first week, and last week we talked about Joshua and Caleb, my two friends. I love these guys. And how they, you know, they were sent into as two of the 12 spies go in to check out the promised land. They came back. They said, it's great, it's ripe for the taking, boys, let's go get them. And 10 of the others said, oh no, they're too big for us. They'll squash us, we're like grasshoppers. And so they ended up not going in. And 40 years later, God told them, he said, okay, this generation is going to die in the desert, and you 10 spies are going to die, but not you, Caleb, and not you, Joshua. And Joshua led them into the promised land afterwards. And how we talked about that sometimes disbelief comes into our life. Remember, to get involved in a good story, you know, think of a good movie you've seen lately or a good book that you've read. You have to kind of suspend your disbelief. You have to say, okay, I know that what's in the book is not real, but I'm not going to pay attention to what I know. I'm going to get involved in the story. And I'm going to believe that robots can really fly and shoot an endless amount of missiles and stuff, or whatever the story is, or maybe it's I really believe that the Civil War was like the one in Gone with the Wind, and it's all kind of fancy, and people were all these fancy. Whatever it is, you know, you have to suspend your disbelief. We also have to suspend our disbelief sometimes when it comes to the Bible. We have to take it as true. Whether or not we understand it, we have to take it as true. And I asked you, I said, do you feel like I'm brainwashing you? Telling you just have to believe something whether you understand it or not. I told you the truth is I want my brain washed. I want to wash all that junk out of my mind and believe in the truth. Today, we're going to continue this. this thought out of the book of Philippians, chapter 1. And our verse is verse 12. It's there on the screen. And it says, "Now I want you to know, brother." This is Paul writing, and he's in prison. He says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." What has happened to me, brothers, has really served to advance the gospel. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this verse that tells us that no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, we can have it be an opportunity to advance the gospel. Father, help us to do that in all parts of our life. Help us to take your word today and apply it to our lives each and every day. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Living a better story. Part 3. How we can live a better story than what we may have been living, or how we can make it be more significant to us. And today we're going to talk about how maybe we can make our story be more significant to those around us. Paul is at a turning point in his ministry, right? He has been just blowing and going and spreading the gospel and starting churches and just seeing all kinds of great things happen. Well, now he finds himself in prison. It's kind of a turning point in his ministry. Turning point. Remember that phrase, turning points, because that's kind of what we're going to talk about, turning points today. He's in jail. His ministry is changing. Now, Paul, like I said, he's been the front runner for the gospel to the Gentiles. And now he finds himself in prison. But what he finds in prison is that not only is he a captive, he's got a captive audience too. I mean, there's other prisoners there, and guess where they get to go? Nowhere. They're stuck. They're just like Paul. And he could preach to them and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The jailers, the soldiers, guess what? They're not prisoners. But guess what they can't do either? They can't leave. They have to do their duty and stay there. So basically, he has them captive also. He's like, let me take advantage of this situation. I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity, and I'm going to preach the gospel. And he did. He didn't waste any moment. He shared the gospel with everyone who was around him. We all have turning points in our lives, just like Paul did. He found himself. His ministry changed. He was free and spreading the gospel. Then all of a sudden, he was in jail. But he was still spreading the gospel. But it was a turning point. Things happened and it changed. I've had turning points in my life. You've had turning points in your life. My first major turning point was when I was 8 or 9 years old. I was at RA Camp in Piscental Baptist Encampment. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior at fire camp that night. We were sitting around the campfire. Somebody with a guitar, I think. And I mean, you know, it's been so long ago, I can't remember everything, but I remember going up and taking an older gentleman's hand, and he led me off to the side, and he walked me through the scriptures, and I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I received salvation at that time. The Holy Spirit was working in me, and I knew it. Another big time is when a turning point in my life is when I went to college. I went up to West Point in New York. I know there's some good things that come from New York, I'm sure. But let me tell you, I was glad to get back to Texas. A little over a year later, when I came back to Texas, it was a turning point. My goals, my aspirations, everything that I had been focusing towards suddenly dissipated, and I had to turn and put my focus somewhere else. So I went to a little Baptist college here in Texas, Howard Payne University. It turned out to be a great turning point in my life. It's where God called me to the ministry. Where God led me to my beautiful bride of over 20 years now. Great turning point in my life. When I got married, I had this little house. It was a trailer house, old trailer house. My sister Audra's here with me today, and she helped me decorate it. I had blue, they're balloon curtains, I think is what she called them. They're just kind of a big fluffy deal, and you stuff tissue paper inside, and they just... You know what I'm talking? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, the women do. All right, and it was blue. I had blue this, I had blue that, and I had blue this and blue that. And it was just, it was good. You know, it was kind of a bachelor pad looking thing. Got married, came home one day, and everything turned pink. Not only turned pink, but I had flowers hanging on the walls. Flower prints on the bedspread over my wall was a swag, and it had like eucalyptus leaves and dried this and dried that. And, you know, there was girly stuff in my bathroom now, and it was just, wow. I mean, I was eating good. I was eating a lot better. But it was a turning point in my life. I remember that. And Rebecca will tell you, you know, how it impacted me to come home one day and realize that my house was no longer my house. It was our house, but it looked more like her house. she says amen. Another turning point in my life is when we had our children. Each one of them was significant and different in our lives. You know, I was profoundly impacted by both. And I'll tell you those stories sometime. It takes longer than we have today, but I could tell you about those stories, about their births. We decided to, when we decided to bring Mom and Dad to live with us, that was a turning point in our life. Things changed. Things weren't the same anymore. You know, it was still great. It's great, and I wouldn't change a thing about it. But it was different. It was a turning point. Priorities, focuses changed in our household. When we came, received a call to come to Dolan Baptist Church, it was a turning point in my life. It was a turning point in our family's life. Really a turning point, or a beginning point, maybe even in my ministry. So we all have turning points in our lives. And I've given you some really good ones in my life. But sometimes our turning points aren't all that great at first glance. Sometimes there's a death of a loved one, or sickness, or divorce, or a loss of a job. Remember we talked about last week, number four, sometimes our story is not worth telling because we want to skip over those parts that make it worthwhile, that make it important. Those kind of things that we want to skip over, those are also turning points in our lives. We encounter these circumstances, we want to just press pause. And we'll press play again when our situation gets better, right? Why don't we say what Paul said? When he says, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Why don't we say that? That'd be a great thing to say, wouldn't it? I don't like what I went through. I don't like what I'm going through. I don't like what's happening to me right now. But I'll tell you, it's really going to impact the gospel. I'm going to spread the word. What has happened to me is really advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know why we don't do that? It's because we're focused on the wrong main character. We're focused on ourselves. And our story has become our story, right? And we find that we're no longer playing our part in God's story, that now our story is really all about us. But Paul didn't have that attitude. There's a word in this verse I want you to take note of. He says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. I wonder why he put that word in there. Now, this is in the NIV. It may not be in the, it's not in the King James and not in the New American Standard. That's why I chose the NIV this morning, because I think this is really a key word for us. It's really helped. He might be trying to convince somebody. No, listen. I know that what you think to me happened to me is bad, but listen, it's really going to be all right. It's really going to be good. Maybe he was trying to convince himself. It's really going to be okay. This is really going to be good. The real part of the story, remember, is not Paul's comfort. The real part of the story is not Paul's freedom, even. The real part of the story is the advancement of the gospel. You see, Paul knew it wasn't about Paul. Maybe Paul, listen to this, maybe Paul was in prison so that other people could and would step up and serve and spread the gospel. Did you ever think of that? Maybe Paul finds himself in prison. Maybe it's part of God's plan, because just like what Jesus said, I must go. He was talking to his disciples. He said, I must go. For I was with you, I will send my spirit to be in you. Basically, I could be with you, or I could be with you. If we're together, we could be together. But if you're separate, I could be with one or the other. You know, he was limited by time and space somewhat. But when he comes back in the spirit, there's no longer a limitation. He can be with all of these guys wherever they go, just like he is with us today. He can be in us all when we spread out. And that really, I mean, come on, think about it. What's more effective, one or many? Many. It may be that was part of God's plan for Paul, was to get things started, get the ball rolling, and then put him in a position, a situation, where other people could step up, take that, and multiply. It's kind of like network marketing, right? Multiply himself, multiply Jesus to reach many more people than what Paul could do by himself. Maybe Paul's circumstances were a turning point for others. Maybe your circumstances are a turning point for someone else. Remember, it's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's really all about the advancement of the gospel. It's really all about Jesus. Maybe what I'm going through, maybe this death can somehow bring glory to God. I'm not sure how, but my attitude will play a big part in that. Maybe this lump that I found, when I give glory to my God, and when I pray and receive healing and find out that it's okay, and people have seen how I've honored God even in the desperate times, it bolsters their faith, bolsters their outlook, and lifts them up and say, well, maybe I can have a good outlook too. It's helping somebody else. Maybe these other struggles. I want to read to you an excerpt from a book that I'm reading. It's called The Sun Stands Still by Stephen Furtick. Stephen Furtick was a pastor that I heard preach at a conference, and I really like the way this guy preaches. I like the way he thinks. And this book, it says, it's kind of long, but just stay with me. He's talking about having faith to believe that even like Joshua prayed for the sun to stand still for a whole day so they could keep killing folks. Because it was God's plan. God said kill them. And he said, okay, but you have to give me some more time. God said, okay. But he had faith to ask that big prayer, right? We have big prayers in our life that we want to ask sometime. We need the faith that will back it up. And he says here that what we call a miracle is really just the right combination of your ordinary ingredients and God's extraordinary expertise. And when God's super collides with your natural, sparks will fly. Here's some things I want to make note of. He says, God may allow you to receive a negative report from the doctor. That's ordinary. But you trust him in a way that causes all your close friends to see Christ clearly through your response. That's extraordinary. God may call you to serve as an unsung youth pastor of 15 kids, leading meetings in a moldy basement with an Atari for entertainment. That's ordinary. But he may also be providing you with an opportunity to pour your life into one of those teenagers who will go on to preach the gospel in 1,000 places you'll never go. That's extraordinary. God may lead you to stay at home with your young children, forfeiting a second income. That's ordinary. But along with diapers, dishes, and naps, you receive the gift of time to mold, discipline, instill values, and speak life into your kids. They could grow up to be Joshuas in their own generation. And that's extraordinary. God may have placed you in a line of work that seems to have no eternal value and provides very little in the way of personal fulfillment. Ordinary. But he knows you're not the only Christian witness many of your co-workers and clients will ever meet. Excuse me. He says, but he knows you may be the only Christian witness many of your co-workers and clients will ever meet. They'll observe what God looks like as you labor with excellence and integrity every day. And that is extraordinary. You see the common thread here? It's not about us. It's about who's watching us, about who's seeing us, who's looking to us. He goes on to say, look around your desert today. It might be your office, your living room, your church, your neighborhood, your classroom. If God is calling you to make a big difference, he usually starts in a small way, a flaming bush that only you will notice. Will you remove your shoes, draw close, and receive your assignment? Are you willing? I think Stephen Furtick is saying, are you willing to let the story be about somebody else? That's a big question. And that's a tough one for us to answer. Let me ask you a question. How has God called you to be a turning point for someone else? I'm not asking you if God has called you to impact someone else. I'm asking you, how has God called you to impact someone else? Because I believe he's called us all to do that. Maybe there's someone that you just need to share the gospel with. And I'll tell you, if you have someone you need to share the gospel with and you just can't do that for some reason, every Sunday at Dolan Baptist Church at 10:30 a.m., the gospel is presented. You can bring them here. Give them a dose of Jesus. Maybe you need to contact someone today. Maybe you need to send a text to someone today. Maybe you need to call somebody on the phone. Maybe you need to visit with someone face to face. Maybe even before you leave today, there may be someone here you need to visit with, because the story is not about you, remember. Maybe you're playing a pivotal part in someone else's life. You may be that turning point in someone else's life. A word of encouragement. A word of repentance. I'm sorry goes a long way, especially when there's something behind it, right? Some sincerity. Maybe there's something that just you feel that God's put on your heart that you need to lift someone up with a special word. And you can talk to them and say, you know what? It's going to be okay. Will you allow God to use you to be a turning point for someone else today? Will you be obedient? Remember, I'm not asking you if God has called you to impact someone else. I'm asking you, are you going to be willing to let God use you to impact someone else? Paul got it. Paul understood it. When he found himself in jail, he said, look, I know it's not all about me. I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity, and I'm going to keep preaching to whoever I have in front of me. But I think he also knew that there were people that were stepping up to the plate who may not would have had Paul not become incapacitated, so to speak. Right? Maybe someone in your life is becoming to where they can't do some things. Job is taking them away from some things. And maybe someone at church needs some help and it's time for you to step up and maybe fill a void or be a helper to accomplish what is growing here at Dolan Baptist Church. That may be it. Maybe God is providing you an opportunity to step up. Will you accept that? Paul understood it wasn't all about him. He was willing to do whatever it took for the advancement of the gospel. You see, Jesus was paramount in Paul's life. You know what paramount means? Nothing higher. First priority, top of the food chain, however you want to say it, the head honcho, that's paramount. Jesus was paramount in Paul's life. Is he in yours? Is he in mine? We have to ask ourselves that. And if not, what are those things in our life that's keeping me from letting God be number one? I tell you, Jesus was paramount in Paul's life, and he can be in yours also. He can be paramount in your life if you choose to make him be paramount, if you choose to let him be number one, if you choose to let him rule and reign. And that's what it is. That's what lordship looks like. You know, I've told you before about there's two words we use that we use when someone comes to a saving knowledge in Christ. We ask them, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Right? And those two words don't mean the same thing. But all of, we kind of run them together. It's almost like we use it as one word. Your Lord and Savior. Look that up in the dictionary. It's Lord and Savior. It's not. It's Lord and Savior. Savior, we're oftentimes really ready to ask him to be our Savior because we want to be saved, right? But sometimes we really don't want him to be Lord because that means we give stuff up. We let him be the boss because that's really what Lord means. We let him rule. And sometimes we don't want to do that. We like the saving part, but we still want to live our life the way I want to live it. But then we don't get that option because they really are joined. We have to allow Christ to be our Lord and Savior. Have you done that? Are you there? Maybe you've said, Lord, save me. Be my Savior. But we haven't let him be Lord. And let me encourage you today. If you find yourself in that position, come on. Realize the story is not just all about you. It's all about Christ. And you may be a turning point for someone else. Make it so today. Make it so today. You know, we all have decisions to make. This morning, every one of us has a decision to make. Maybe not every one of us has a decision to make regarding salvation or acceptance of God's forgiveness. But every one of us has to decide today, am I going to allow God to be Lord in my life today? Am I going to follow him today? Am I going to accept the opportunity? Listen, when God provides me someone to mentor, to share the gospel with, am I going to accept that today? What's my outlook going to be when I get a report? What's my outlook going to be when I get some news that I don't really like? What's my outlook going to be today if something happens that sets me back a little ways? We have those decisions to make each and every day, folks. You have a decision to make today. And it's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you square? I think none of us really are. We've all got improvements to make. Decide today to start on those improvements, just like we did yesterday. We improved the looks of this place greatly. But it's not all done yet. And our lives are the same way. We all have improvements to make. Sometimes we need to cut some rotted wood out and replace it with some new stuff. Sometimes we need to get the dead stuff out of there. Sometimes we just need to water the live stuff so that it blooms better. Right? Spoof things up, clean and decorate and make things shiny. Sometimes we need to do that in our lives. Will you do that today? Will you commit to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Help me to be something worth looking to for somebody else. Will you do that today? If God has been speaking to you, now let me back that up. I'm gonna retract that statement because I know God's been speaking to you. I just don't know what he's been telling you. But whatever he's been speaking to you, will you respond to that? Will you say, today's the day when I start things fresh? When I start things new, whether that's for salvation, whether that's for recommitting your life to a service of to Christ, whether that's I'm going to work harder on my marriage, I'm going to work harder on my family, I'm going to work harder at my job, I'm going to take those up, whatever it is, will you respond to the Spirit's call today? This is your time. Would you stand? We'll sing a song. We're going to not be tarrying long. We'll be here for a few moments. If you need to see me, I'll be right here. I'm here for you. You respond as we sing.